Okay, open your Bible to Matthew 16. Now, I went through all these markers, and I'm hoping they work. Because I like to write things out sometimes on the board because it helps us understand, see things better. Matthew chapter 16. What we saw is kind of interesting how all this flows together. We saw the confession of Peter of who Jesus is as the Messiah, as the Son of the living God. So here's the confession that's given. And in return, Jesus gives the keys to the kingdom of heaven to Peter and those other apostles. They get the keys. They're going to be the ones to allow things in and allow things out. And they're going to take the teachings of Jesus on forward into the world. And it's on that confession that Jesus comes and he says this. Look at verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day. What does Jesus begin to do right after the confession of Peter? What does he do? He's going away pretty soon. What'd you say, Karen? Yeah, I'm going to suffer. Now, Jesus just tells them, and Peter reacts to the words of Jesus. 22. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. How does he react to the words of Jesus? Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. I'm not going to let it happen, and God forbid that it should happen to you. And he just confessed that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of the living God. And he was given the keys. And now he rebukes Jesus. And Jesus responds, verse 22. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. How did Jesus react to Peter's statements? What was Peter's problem? Because this is kind of what we're going to look at this morning. What was Peter's problem? He was setting his mind on man's interest, not God's interest. There's a huge gap here, Peter, right now. We need to understand one another. And in that context of setting your mind on man's interest, what does he call Peter? Satan. Yes, ma'am. Right? But everything is about one thing. Mindset. Everything's about one thing. The words of Jesus did not resonate with Peter. He didn't want to accept it. And what do you think's the problem in Scripture with Scripture and people today? People don't want to understand. They won't accept it. Do you have a thought? Well, you may if they're off base, but you shouldn't rebuke the Lord. You know, it's not your place and my place to question God, to question the Lord. What's our place? We need to humble ourselves and listen. Now, this plays an important part of what we're going to get to this morning. You know where all problems enter our lives? All of our problems come from a wrong mindset. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to talk about our minds. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. And if you remember back in chapter 13, you remember all those parables we went through? And in those parables, what kind of parables were they? The kingdom of God. What does the term kingdom mean? Reign or rule. So we got the kingdom of God. Jesus is ushering in. He's bringing the kingdom of God. He's about to put all the earth under His rule. God's about to put it to Jesus. And so Jesus uses these parables to explain, I'm bringing in this kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom, and man's not going to overpower it, neither are the gates of Hades. This kingdom is what it's all about. Well, right now, guess what Peter's not doing? Well, it's more than not understanding. He doesn't have the proper mindset. He's going to tell Jesus, I know more about it than you. That's what happens when we don't listen to the Word of God. We're telling God, I know more about my situation and situations in life than you do, God. Where does that put you with God? Now, knowing that, that's what leads to verse 24. Look at what Jesus begins to teach them, verse 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. What's the first thing Jesus tells them? Okay, first things first. Number one, deny self. How difficult is that? What are most people stuck on? Self. I was on the phone yesterday, just to give you an illustration. I was on the phone yesterday talking to a gentleman, and he asked me, he said, well, you've been fishing down in your lake lately? I said, oh, I went the other day for the first time. I said, I caught some fish. And he said, oh, I want to hear about it, but I've got a fish story to tell you. And you know what he never asked me about again? See, where was his mindset? See, it was all about him, not about anything else. And so the very first thing is that you and I must deny ourselves. What does the word deny mean? Put aside, that's a good statement for it. Okay? Here's the Greek meaning. Disown. To disown you. You and I have got to disown one another, and it also goes to this. Disown to no connection. See, this is our problem that we see, and nothing's changed today. You want to follow Me? You're going to call yourself a child of God? Guess what? If you're going to follow Me, guess what you've got to do? Yeah. You've got to disown. You've got to disconnect yourself from you. Because guess what everybody wants? See, self will always want to preserve you. And he's going to explain that here in just a few moments. Look over at Matthew 26. Come over here. This idea of disowning, you're going to see this no connection. Right here, Matthew 26, just a few short verses. Look at verse 69. This is when Peter is called into hand about being a disciple of Jesus. Look at verse 69. Jesus is going on trial. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with the Galilean." But he, what? He denied it before them, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." Guess what he did? He disowned who? Can you imagine disowning Jesus and saying it outwardly? "I don't know what you're talking about. See, I have no connection with that man." He denied it. Continue on. Look at verse 71. When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl said to him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth," and he denied it with an oath. Same thing. He disassociated. He brought himself away. "I don't even know this man." And he made an oath. I promise you, I've never been around this guy. It's not getting better, because what is he trying to preserve? Himself. See, continue on. Look at verse 73. A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Jesus is teaching those disciples, if you're going to be a follower of me, guess what has to go? Self. Because Peter's trying to preserve himself. And I've met many people over the years in the church. They're not honest. They do things that are not Christ-like. And if you approach them, they'll deny it. "Oh, no, that's not me." See, we want to disown, but self is the problem. Self is always the problem. Let me ask you this, since we're talking about self. What is so wrong with ourselves that we must disown us? What's wrong with us? All right, we're not perfect. Come over to Romans chapter 6. Take a little bit of time and show you this. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 6. Jesus said, you've got to deny yourself. In Romans chapter 6, we know we're talking about baptism, but the point I want you to see, look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so we would no longer be slaves to sin. What's wrong with self? It's tied directly to sin. And what does sin do to us? It enslaves us. It controls the way he says it here, so that our body of sin controls a person's body. That's why people do what they do, because sin's got them under their control. Jesus said, you've got to, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny self. Self is what's tied to sin. Come on over to Ephesians 4. Show you one more here. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, talking about Jesus, just as truth is in Jesus. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. What do you learn about self there? It's what? Yourself, your old self, is corrupted. What does it mean to be corrupted? Like a cancer, she said, that just eats away at you. Corrupted. And notice the tense of that is being corrupted. What keeps happening? As long as you don't deny self, are you getting better or are you getting worse? And that's why, and I've taught this many a time, that's why when you see people get older, they can't get out of who they are because they've had more years of this corruption. And it led them on to later in life, and they do things that you wonder, how did they ever do that? Jesus said, you better deny yourself. You better disown self. Because when you were baptized into Christ, old self was rendered what? Powerless, dead. Why? Sin and corruption. You better get away from you. Most people want to preserve themselves. They don't want to deny themselves. And that's where the problems come in. You ever known people faced with a situation? There's a serious situation in life. And they'll ask, what do I do? And you tell them, here's what you better think about. And you'll show them something from God's word. And they say, I can't do that. What are they just telling you? Are they talking like Peter? Here's what God's word says we do in this situation. No, if I do that, I'm going to lose this, or it maybe cost me a relationship with my family or whatever it may be. Wait a second. Wait a second. What's Jesus trying to do? What's the Lord trying to do for us? Change your mindset. Jesus is trying to get us to serve the Lord and not serve us, because serving the Lord is where you find contentment. Serving the Lord is where you find peace of mind. You can't get it any other way. So if self doesn't go, look at what continues in your life. Why do you think people, after they're baptized into Christ after a while, why do you think they fall away? Yeah, something's wrong with their heart, and their heart's not based on the Word of God. They don't want to deny themselves. All right, knowing that, come over to Galatians 5, next one book back. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 18. Notice what he says. Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You don't need do's and don'ts if you're led by the Spirit. So, what's the answer from God about denying self? There you go. To be led by the Spirit. Now, does the Spirit come along and just say, okay, come on, I've got you. I'll take you through all this. If you're led anywhere, what do you have to do? Submit willingly, and whoever you're submitting to, you're depending on them to take you somewhere that you're not aware of. You know, I want you to come out to my house. I don't know how to get out there. Some way you have to be led. You know, maybe I'll pull it up on a map. I'll Google Maps, you know, and we'll find the way. But any way you do it, you have to be led. Why do we have the Spirit of God? So He can lead us somewhere. Where do you think He's going to lead us from and to? The purpose of the Spirit of God is to lead you away from you. Look back at verse 16, and we have the answer right here. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. What else self want? Do what? Yeah. So, not only is sin corrupt self, but self is tied to your flesh. Now, let's just ask real quick, what is your flesh? Is it this right here that you see? Tell me, what do you think flesh is? Your desires, what you want done. You know, most people, when they want something, they'll go to extremes to get whatever they think they want. Guess who's leading? Yeah, your old self. Self is. So self is going to work through your flesh, your desires. And if we'll let the Spirit of God lead, guess where He's going to take us away from? And that's why he says, if you will walk, see, to walk by, we're talking about the word led. If you will walk by the Spirit, guess what won't happen? Yeah. You won't carry out your fleshly desire. Sometimes we have wants so bad, so big in us, that we'll do anything we can to accomplish it. That's not good. Jesus said, are you going to be one with me? Guess what must go? Self. Because everything self is tied to. Look at verse 17. Now look at the problem. For the flesh, our wants, our desires, sets its desire against the Spirit. Are the flesh and God working hand in hand? The desires that creep up within us, what do our desires want compared to God? Works against the desires of God, and the Spirit against the flesh. What is the Spirit of God doing for your flesh, your desires, your wants? He opposes it too. So there's a conflict between God and you, God and me. If we won't deny ourselves, if we're going to work everything out ourselves, there's a conflict. So the Spirit, the flesh sets its desire against the things of God, and the Spirit sets its desires against the things of your flesh. Continue on. For these are in opposition to one another. Look at the last statement of the verse. So that you may not do the things that you please. There's the defining of self. Guess what self always wants to do? What pleases you. And that's where most people's mindset is. That's the problem that we see all the time in the church. Some people, you can't get to them because their mind is so set on self. All this sin and corruption is working. Their flesh is working. God cannot lead them anywhere. And guess what our problems do? They get bigger. And when your mind's set on your flesh, you can't understand, what do I need to do in this case? Because God's not helping you. Because there's an opposition between you and God. See, this is the problem with everything that's going on. Look down. Let's stay here for just a minute. Look at verse 18. He brings this in again. But if you were led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The law was a bunch of do's and don'ts. You don't need the law. You need the Spirit of God helping. Verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh, here's what your flesh does, are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Oh, people have anger issues. Where's it coming from? What makes people generally angry? Other people. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't give me what I want to hear, what's going to be my reaction? Anger. Outbursts of anger is the problem of being self-centered. And you're not going to stand for it. That's why people get all upset, get mad. Notice after that, disputes, dissensions, factions. What's wrong with having disputes with people? Yes, most disputes are about my opinion versus your opinion. And we get angry and we let them know we're not happy. And so what does it create within the environment at that moment? What'd you say? Separation. Does it create a lot of tenseness? Yeah, a lot of conflicts. So when you see within a home, when you see a lot of conflicts going on, tell me what's the problem? Somebody is not denying self. And sin is taking advantage of that. Get what you deserve. Get what you want. And that's what sin uses self for. And guess what goes out the window? Whatever the Lord wants done. You don't care what the Lord wants. You know, a few years ago, I was talking to an individual. They'd come talk to me. They had a serious problem within their family. And in the problem, they had a daughter. And the daughter was married. She got mad at mom and dad, told her husband, made the husband mad at mom and dad, and they packed up everything and moved away with the grandkids. Just left. Now, the daughter and her husband are in deep trouble where they live. And they call back, would y'all move out here and help us with the kids? We can't handle them. We don't have the money to handle them. And so the couple came to me and they said, what do you do? And I said, you're walking on some dangerous ground right now because you've got all these emotions. So I said, I want to sit down with you and I'm going to use the book of Proverbs. I'm going to give you some wisdom from God. So I wrote down about 10 or 12 Proverbs. I said, you need to read those and you need to see what the Lord says about a situation like this. Later, they came back to me and they let me know they were not happy with me. And I asked them, what did I do? They said, well, if I do it this way, I'm going to lose my family. What was the problem? Not willing to do it the Lord's way. And why are you not willing to do it the Lord's way? Self. It all comes down to one thing. I want to do it my way, and I'll do anything I can to keep from losing. Well, you tell me, what did the family do? They moved. They moved out there. You know what the daughter and her husband did? Bankrupted them. Bankrupted them, and now they were all out in the same place. No funds, no way to help. And no Lord. That's it. That's absolutely right. People make great mistakes because of not denying self. We could have saved them from all of that situation if they would have just paid attention to the Lord. Peter would not have been called Satan if he would have done what? Just pay attention to what the word of the Lord said. Now, here's a question for you. How many of us are creating problems for God because we're setting our interest on ourselves rather than on God? See, Peter was told, you're setting your mind on Satan's interest, not God's, and you've become a stumbling block to me. How many times could we be a stumbling block to God? Where God's trying to accomplish something good, but we won't deny ourselves, and so what happens to the situation? It escalates into better or worse? Worse. Sometimes it's hard. I know that. I know even within my own family, I know sometimes you have to take a stand. And it may cost you, it has us, that this is the way it is and I'm not moving. And your family may disown something, but you know what we're trying to do? God has one goal in mind, and that's what? He's trying to save people. Doing it your way, you and I don't have that mindset. You and I need to do things God's way so you and I can move forward with that. So here's the problem. If you look down at the end of verse 21, well, let's just read 21 while we're here. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What if these things of the flesh are involved in your life? What's the fact? You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to make it in the end. All because self won't go. Questions or comments you have? Yes, ma'am. When is hate going to leave the life? Yeah. When would it leave? One thing. If they would deny themselves. There you go. See, long as she stays in that mind frame, sin and corruption and the flesh will dominate her body. It is. Now, let's take your statement. You said it's hard to watch. What do you think about God? And He watches us. Here you and I are in Christ Jesus. We have the Spirit of God, and we refuse to do it His way. What do you think He thinks? You think it's hard for him to watch? Knowing that you've got everything you need to make it and you won't listen. What do you think he feels? You think it was hard on Jesus? Come back to Matthew 16. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Now back to Matthew 16. Thank you for that. Until we deny ourselves, there will be no progress made spiritually. It isn't going to happen. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself." That's number one. Number two, what's the second thing? Take up his cross. And then what? What does it mean to take up your cross? Take up your death, okay? What is a cross about? People wear crosses for ornaments, earrings, necklaces, rings. The cross isn't an ornament. What does a cross stand for? Death? Is it difficult? What is Jesus about to face? He's going to face death. You know what he's having to take up? He has to deny himself. Because guess what he didn't want to do? I don't want to suffer. I don't want to die like this. But what did he have to choose? God, take it from me. Take this from me. Is there any other way without having to go through this? And then what? Not my will, but your will be done. What did he just do? He denied himself. And then guess what he had to do from that point? Was it a struggle to go die? See, when he asks us to deny ourselves and take up your cross, sometimes it's going to be difficult. You know, sometimes, and that's why I was saying a while ago, sometimes you have to make decisions in your home. We did. And you have to make a stand. And I know that the cost was going to be great. But guess what? Sometimes to walk with God, there will be a struggle involved. And you're expected to follow through with God, even in the struggle, to be led by His Spirit. Where's the Spirit of God going to take you? Going to take you to heaven? It's going to take you to overcome self. Because we get stirred up with a lot of stuff. Will you deny that? Will you disown you? Will you have no connection with you and follow me? See, you've got to also understand there may be a price paid. But you know what God understands in the whole? What if Jesus had not denied himself? What if Jesus had not taken up his cross? Where would we be at today? So all of that suffering and all that pain, where did it lead Jesus? Next to God, right hand to God. Where does it lead us? Right there with Him. God knows, I know what it took for my son to get through it. And he denied himself and he took up his cross. I know where you need to go, and I know how you need to overcome it. You need to deny yourself. And then you need to understand sometimes there's pain involved. But it's not for nothing. How in the world sometimes can we get our family to see the reality of God? How's the only way you can do it? By holding on to yourself? Guess what they live with every single day? Guess what decisions they make every day? Selfish decisions. That's all they know. The only way they're going to ever see God is that they see me yielding to the Spirit of God. If they see me denying myself, sometimes during these outbursts that people have, guess what you got to do? I'm not going to have an outburst with them. I can't do that. Why? I want them to see there's something greater. There's a better way to go about this than this stuff. That salvation is a reality, not just something we talk about. Thought? Go ahead. Yeah, you ever have? Yeah, that's a good point. We can't. I'm gonna restate you. We can't act exactly like the world. We can't act like the world at all, because the Spirit of God is foreign to the world. But the Spirit of God has been given to us for a way to make it to God all the way. And when you find yourself frustrated, when you find yourself angry, when you find yourself, you know, trying to do things on your own to get a gain on your own, what's the Spirit of God going to do for you? Don't do that. I'll take care of you. Does the Lord know my needs? If the Lord knows my needs, you think He knows what I need to do in situations? Oh, absolutely. And here's Jesus teaching a huge, huge lesson right here after Peter. Get behind me, Satan. I wonder if Jesus would tell that to us in some of the ways we act today. Get behind me, Satan. You're being a stumbling block to me. We're not helping the world. We're not helping our families. We're not helping anybody around us as long as we keep following ourselves. All right, let's continue on. Look at verse 25. Look at the next thing he takes us to. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What does it mean to save your life? All right, tell me, hang on to it. Tell me what that means. Let's explain that. Self is in a self-preservation mode. Everything's about me. Everything's what I want. I don't like something, so guess what self does? I'm going to discard you. I'm going to cast you aside. Jesus said, if you're going to try to preserve self, what's going to happen to you? You're going to lose your life spiritually forever. See, what happens if you take and deny self, for the sake of Jesus, have you ever prayed a prayer in which you told the Lord, I give myself wholly to you. Whatever you tell me, that's what I'll do. and mean it? If you give yourself to the Lord and you trust Him and you listen to Him, what He's doing, what's the promise? You're going to find life. That's where life, there is no life here. But if you want to find life, you're going to find life where? In me, by denying yourself, taking up your cross. It's difficult. It's not ever easy. It's difficult. So what are we learning just from this part of Matthew 16? What have you learned? What'd you say? Yeah, self's got to go. Self's not going to get you to God. Selfishness and self-centeredness will never get you to God. And so here's Jesus saying, here's the instruction. You come to me. If I'm the one you say you love, you got to deny self. You got to take up the cross, your cross. Because different people, we have different things that we struggle with. Take it up and follow me. That's what he was doing. Look at verse 26. Look at the question he's asked through this teaching. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What's the profit if you and I live our lives to the full extent and we get to the end and you lose your soul anyway? What's the value of all the things you did in your life trying to preserve yourself? What's the value? Well, you got what you wanted. You worked it out your way. You did it your way. And now you forfeit your soul. What did it value, your walk with God? So the question you have to, that he had to ask, is that in taking up all of this and doing all of this, what are you willing today to give in exchange for your soul? What is it worth? Is it worth ignoring God, like the family I was telling you about, and going out there and getting yourself in a big mess? What's the value of that? There's no value. So what are you willing to exchange your soul for? You watch decisions people make in their lives, and those decisions show what they value. That's what people value. And here's Jesus. What's it profit? You get everything that you always wanted. You worked it out just the way you wanted it to be, and you forfeit your soul. What have you gained? What are you willing to exchange your soul for? See, isn't that what he's trying to get us to see? Yeah, my favorite thing, follow your heart. Yeah, that's the one thing you'll never hear me say. Yeah, I'm telling you. Yes, ma'am. It's, yeah, that's a good point. People, Karen's saying people go out, they want a better job, more money, and then guess what they do? You give up your soul to do it. Because you know what I know about the Lord and what I know about God? You know what He always promises if I'll be faithful? I will take care of every need of yours. You don't have to go begging. You don't have to do anything. I know what you need even before you ask, Matthew 6 told us. And I will meet your needs always. Always. The problem is a lot of times what self thinks you need, self wants, not a need. Self wants. Deny self. I remember my dad had his business, and dad never made much money. He's a TV and appliance man, and him and mom were relatively poor growing up. And I remember one month, I don't know what was going on. I don't know if I was in junior high or high school. But I remember dad sitting at the table one night talking to mom. Dad was just really concerned. Said, Mom, I don't know how we're going to make it this month. I got this debts that we got to pay. And the TVs they had on his floor at the shop, he has to pay money to have them stay on his floor. I don't know where we're going to get the money. And I remember them having that discussion. And then I remember after that, sometime he was sitting in his chair in the living room, and I went in there, and he just spoke quietly to mom, the Lord will provide for us. And it happened. What's the profit? What will you give in exchange for his soul? Now look at verse 27 as we take a little turn. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. What does that sound like? Yeah. I mean, the Son of Man, Jesus is coming in his glory. And guess what he's going to do? I'm going to repay every person to what they've done. Now, here's the question. What does it sound like if you just read that on the surface? It sounds bad. It does do that. Does it sound like the end of time? See, most people go there thinking the end of time, but it's not the end of time. And you know how I know? The next verse tells me, verse 28, truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What did he let them know? We're not talking about the end of time. What do you know? What did he let them know? Yeah, if we're talking about the end of time, where are these people? You know, no, they're not going to be dead. They're going to be there, and they're going to witness the coming of the Son of Man. When did that get witnessed? The resurrection of Christ. And he said, you're not going to die. You're going to see me, and my kingdom is established, and I'm Lord of it. They saw the Lordship of Jesus reign over all the earth, come into existence. And, of course, here, Judas didn't get to see it, you know, because of what he did, but the rest of them were all alive. Questions or comments? How did it work for you? Marlene's saying when Paul passed away, she said she didn't know if she could make it. She knew what she's going to do. And here she is sitting here. It all worked out. And she didn't have to work it out. It all worked out. You know, everything perfectly. Any other questions or comments? That is a great point. Janet makes about Romans 8, 5 through 8, that those who are in the flesh cannot please God because those in the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Corruption. And they in that corruption, he says, they are hostile toward God. I don't want you to tell me that. I can't do that. Hostilities. See, that's what it creates. I appreciate you bringing that up. That's a good thing. Okay. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And we'll start 17. Thank you all for everything.